One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the Global Day of Transmission program with our man of God, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. This broadcast is brought to you by Christ Embassy 8623, Hemlock Hill Drive, Houston, Texas. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and on Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. For inquiries, or to share your testimonies, kindly call us at 659-278-5511. Or send us an email at info@loveworldradionetworks.org.
Hallelujah. Jesus gave us the legal authority to use his name. You've heard people pray in the name of Jesus. You've heard people call on the name of Jesus. Have you ever wondered why? Why do we use the name of Jesus in prayer when we pray? And what does it mean? When you pray in the name of Jesus, what does it mean? I'm going to read a few verses to you. And the first one, the words of Jesus himself. What did he say? In St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and I'm reading to you from verse number 13. These are the words of Jesus. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's extraordinary. This emphatically tells us that Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name. We have the legal power to use his name. He told us we could. He says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now let me read further to you in St. John's Gospel, chapter 16. From verse 23, and I want you to listen very carefully to the words. Jesus is talking here. And in that day, he was referring to the day of the New Deal, when he opens a new way to the Father, the day of salvation that he came to consummate. So he says, when that day comes, and that day began from his resurrection. So he says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is extraordinary. Jesus says, in that day you shall not need to pray to him. You do not pray to Jesus. He says, for whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. So here again, Jesus says, we can pray in his name. He gives us the power, the legal authority to use his name. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. In my name, That's amazing. But then we say to ourselves, what is so important about the name of Jesus that we should use it? Why does Jesus expect us to use his name? Why does he tell us we can use his name? What is in his name? What does his name represent? How can we just have confidence in the name because he told us we could use it? What's in his name? Well, I'm going to read the Bible to you again. And this time, I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 2, from verse 9. I want you to listen carefully to what it says. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him. If you read the verses before, you see he's talking about Jesus Christ. He says, God, because Jesus humbled himself unto death, even the death on the cross, he says, God also had highly exalted him, exalted Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. That's amazing. God gave to Jesus a name that is above every name. Look what it says more. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, I want you to notice the construction of the language. He says that at the name of Jesus, he's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That language, that construction means God made a sovereign decree. Meaning that it's become a law in the realm of the spirit. Not a promise. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That means every knee should submit. Everyone submits to the name of Jesus. Where? Look at it. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Now, the word that's translated things means whatever. It means beings, things, anything that exists. That's what's described with that word. In the Greek, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Now, what does it mean under the earth? He's not talking about when you describe in your geography and you're thinking, okay, maybe it's the earth's crust. No, spiritual language again, because the Bible says hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. That means in the spirit realm, hell is spiritually beneath the earth. So not in your physical description when you're thinking about digging into the earth or looking for where should you be with respect to another to call it beneath. You have to look at it from the language of the Bible. So he's referring to hell. That's amazing. No wonder he told us we could raise the dead. No wonder he said so. No wonder he said so, because even if a man went to hell, you could call him back. That's amazing. Because the name of Jesus Christ has power in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. That's in hell. Now, there's more. I'm going to read this time. Well, let's finish reading this. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's remarkable. Everyone submits to the name of Jesus. Everyone declares the lordship of Jesus. He's boss over all. He's above all. It doesn't matter what that thing is. A situation, a condition, a sickness, an ailment, an affliction. Whatever it is. And then there's more. I'm going to read Father to you in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Hear what it says. That the God, if you read the verses before, it's a prayer here that he prays for the Ephesian Christians, which means, and from the context, it meant it wasn't just for those who live there, but it's for every saint. That's amazing. Everyone who is born again, everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, hear what he says. So he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That means the spirit of insight. Insight into secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of God. He prays that God will grant you insight. That's amazing. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He goes on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding. He's talking about your spiritual sight. The eyes of your heart being flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, start following from this next verse, because I'm talking about who this Jesus is. What kind of a name does he have? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? That means the greatness of his power directed toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him, talking about God, when he raised Jesus from the dead and set him. Now, here's where Jesus is. It's amazing. He says, God raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand. When you say right hand, you're not talking about the geographical location. You're talking about the seat of power. When you say, that man is my right-hand man, you mean that he represents you. He has your authority to act in your stead. So the Bible says God set Jesus at his right hand. So Jesus is in the seat of authority of God. In the heavenly places, in the heavenly realms. Far, here's where Jesus is. Look at it. His position of authority. The Bible says far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That means the name of Jesus Christ is above every power, every rulership, every government, every authority. It's described here. Look at it. He's above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This is extraordinary. No wonder the apostles used the name of Jesus. And this is what Christians around the world must rediscover. The power of the name of Jesus. You must learn to use the name of Jesus in all circumstances. Use the name of Jesus because he gave us victory in every situation in this world. But if you don't know, you will live the life of a failure. You will live the life of a slave. You live a defeated life and you wonder why. But it's because of the lack of knowledge. God said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Not the lack of power. He gave it to them. But if they don't know, they can't use it. Now, let me read further. Let's read that same scripture one more time. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also, look at that. He's above every name that is named. Anything that you can call, anything that you can name. That's amazing. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That means then, now, and the future. Next verse, watch now. And had put all things under his feet. God put all things under the feet of Jesus. This is remarkable. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Look at the next verse. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth on in all. Let me explain this to you. It's so simple, but it's so powerful, so profound. Those two verses, verses 22 and 23, what he's telling you is this, that God put all things under the feet of Jesus and then declared Jesus to be the head and made the church, all those who believe in him, his body. Meaning that Jesus becomes the head of a body.
that he calls the church. And then he calls the church the fullness. That means without the church, Jesus is incomplete in this world. And so when he says, and has put all things under his feet, he means that below, look at your own body. Your head is at the top. Then you have the rest of your body. At the very lowest are your feet. So, no matter where you are, when you stand on anything that is below your feet, even the lowest member of your body is above such things. Meaning that as a member of the body of Christ, as a Christian, it doesn't matter what role you occupy, what place in the church you occupy, what place in the body of Christ you belong. As long as you're in that body, you are above all things. Why would you live a life of fear? Why would you live a life of defeat? Why would you be afraid of disease? It's amazing that many Christians today are afraid of sickness. And many even fled because of what they called COVID. They fled. They forgot who Jesus is. They forgot his name. They forgot the power of the name of Jesus. They forgot. They forgot. Let me read another verse to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. See what the Bible says. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed. That means whatever you do, in speech or in action. He says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What life are you living? He told you that whatever you do, do in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus never fails. That's why he told you to do all things in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that when you want to clean your shoes, you say, I clean these shoes in Jesus' name. I wipe this floor in Jesus' name. No, it's not the constant announcement. It is living in his name. That's what he's telling you. Living your life in the name of Jesus. In all situations, in all circumstances, proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Live as his representative. Doesn't the Bible tell you exactly what life you have? 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. He didn't say shall give us. It's not a promise. The day you receive Christ into your heart, you receive eternal life. Look at it. And this is the record. It means this is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Look at the next verse. He that had the Son had life. And he that had not the Son of God had not life. If you have Jesus Christ, you have this life. If you don't have him, you don't have this life yet. And once you have this life, let me show you another portion. Chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. Not so shall we be in heaven. Look at it. So are we in this world. I asked you, what life are you living? God wants you to live like Jesus now. Live in his name from this day. Don't allow sickness or disease or infirmity have dominion over you. And never live in fear. Let me show you that the very next verse. Watch what it says. There is no fear in love. Do you believe God loves you? If he loves you, then there is no fear in love. How can you live in fear? Look at it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. When people have fear in their lives, they're tormented. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So you say, I refuse to fear. I will not fear. So live in boldness in the name of Jesus. And no matter the condition that you have right now, no matter the affliction, no matter what prognosis, don't worry. Say to yourself, today is my day of liberty from this disease, from this pain, from this affliction. I will use the name of Jesus. All over the world, we're going to use the name of Jesus. We're going to use the name of Jesus.
I trust that the Lord will touch you today and bring you healing. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone who's under the influence of this program right now. I pray for them to be healed, to be made well, to be restored to health in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be healed in your body. Be healed now. I command the pains to leave you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. I command the tumors to die in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be healed in your body. I rebuke the tumor in the ear, someone with difficulty hearing because there's a tumor in the ear. I command those devils to come out of your body in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be healed. Put your hands around your body and say, I receive healing into my body in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us know what the Lord has done for you. Use the address so you can get back to us. We're so glad to hear from you. Now, before I let you go, we've got materials here to help you grow in your Christian life. This one is titled, How to Receive a Miracle and Retain It. Very simple things you can learn from the Word of God. But get yours today. If you will call or send an email, we'll get back to you. And you'll know at least how to get the book. Look at this, How to Make Your Faith Work. Another important book just for you. And lastly, How to Pray Effectively. God wants us to pray and receive answers to prayer. Remember the words of Jesus when he said, ask and receive that your joy may be full. So I'm glad that we have been able to share some thoughts with you today and to have your faith stirred and receive healing. I look forward to seeing you again. Until then, keep living in an atmosphere of miracles.
If you've never received salvation, if you've never received Christ into your heart, if you've never experienced this life of Christ that I'm talking to you about, this is your moment. Say these words. Say, oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe he died to save me. I believe God raised him from the dead and he's alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life from this day. And by my faith in him, I receive eternal life into my heart, into my spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I'm a child of God now. I am born again. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. This Global Day of Transmission broadcast has been brought to you by Christ Embassy 8623, Hemlock Hill Drive, Houston, Texas. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and on Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. For inquiries, or to share your testimonies, kindly call us at 659-278-5511. or send us an email at info@loveworldradionetworks.org. Thank you and God bless you.